I've been
All right,
overtaken
everyone.
by gyms. That's what's
It
happening.
can be a very popular name. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate you including your busy day. So I'll go ahead and get started. So maybe you'll get some time back or something. But my first question is for James, Director James. The film uses a mix of practical and CGI. How do you approach a scene differently with your cinematographer, with the cast, if it's leaning one way or the other, or is a mix of the two?
Yeah, great question. Well, at the end of the day, we are a bit of a low budget movie, so there's only so much of an animatronic that we could build, because the animatronic isn't just expensive on its own. It also requires five to six people to operate, and that's just the head. So it was just totally beyond our kind of remit to build anything bigger than a head. So we never had a full body. One thing that I kind of underestimated was I think we perhaps thought we'd use the head more than we did, but the head, you don't realize, but obviously, because it's kind of rubber cast and it's kind of got one expression. So, like, yes, the mouth opens and shuts, but like beyond that, and the effects team, Dan Martin and 13 Finger Effects, who built the hippo, did an incredible job. It looked amazing. It looked so photoreal, but you could do great stuff with it, but you could only do the same thing. If you kind of catch my drift. So we kind of used it as it's in about four or five sequences, but it can only be used in one kind of way. So it gave us great close-ups, great interaction between cast and hippo, and great just to have present as well for people to react to. But once you got anything wider than the kind of neck, we had to kind of lean into a big visual effects hippo. And because it's not just the scale of building something that big, it's also the movement of something that big. And hippos are fast. They can run at 30 miles an hour and they flick their head really quickly. And just with these animatronics, they only go so fast. So it kind of works in Jurassic Park with a big hulking dinosaur that's just like boom, boom, boom. But as soon as they start to run, CGI takes over.
All right, great. So my next question is going to be for Madison. Your character goes through a lot emotionally, physically during this girls' trip. Is there a scene, sequence, a part of your character that you found unexpectedly difficult to portray when there's so much obvious difficult things you may have to deal with?
I mean, each thing has its own difficulty. I will say the thing that sticks out to me the most was when I declined to wear knee pads. I was just, I was going. I was like, we gotta do this. And I'm running from the hippo, and I wanted to do my own stunt at that moment. And so I really just threw myself onto this dock, and I scraped my knee. But I think that was of my own doing because I declined the knee pads the first time, but the second time I wore them. In all honesty, I'm like, everything that I thought would be difficult, the climbing of the trees, the swimming and everything, it was, but it added so much to the story and it felt necessary, and the material itself was so harrowing, and what we're going through in this swamp. So yes and no to your question. There was difficult things. Oh, actually, not come to think of it, there was a whole sequence where I'm underneath the flipped over boat. And I will say that was one of our hardest moments because the mic transmitters weren't picking up underneath the metal boat. And so not only did we have the difficulty of doing this whole sequence underneath the boat, but then after the fact in ADR, we had to rebuild this whole scene. It was me and James in the recording booth going, okay, let's put ourselves back there. This is where we were. This is what we were doing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And it was cold. You were so, bless you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think by the end of that, because it was 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And so the water had just plummeted in temperature. And Olivia is also under the boat. River's under the boat. All of our lips were blue.
Yeah, it sounds like a difficult night in the water for you.
Me, James, Olivia, River, Ben, our producer, we all hugged and we called ourselves penguins, which was just lovely.
Yeah, between takes.
I think that's the thing about this movie is with a lot of the difficult, bad things are a lot of really beautiful memories. So it's hard for me to say.
That's great. Jim, you've had a pretty varied career playing a lot of different characters. How do you find a unique balance for your character, Tim, who's a bit of a tough guy, who is also a very loving father and grandfather?
Yeah, well, James wrote this character, and he brought a lot of nuance and layers to him just in the writing, and then made me feel very free and confident to build on that. So we actually constructed, and we had a nice conference about this guy and some thoughts I had, and I interviewed a retired fire chief from New York, and we pieced all this together to try to create something that was well-rounded so that we would care about the guy. And I know all the other performers did this too. They created characters that were very 360 degrees so that we would have a reality about them, we would care about them. And it wouldn't just be like, well, I wonder who's going to die next. It would be like, when that person's going, you're like, oh my God, no. like someone that you actually have some experience with. And I felt very lucky to have that leeway because very often, most often in my career, you don't have the time, and nobody has that much attention on your character. It's like, well, you're FBI agent number four, and that's kind of the end of the story. In this case, I got to actually develop it, and I had a swell time.
That's great. And I agree with you. I felt that way watching the movie where I was like, oh, these are the people I predict will be fine, the order or whatever. And it's like, oh, surprise, surprise. And you
Surprise.
get attached to characters. So that was good.
Yeah.
So,
Just like in real life, by the way.
yeah. So, my last question before I get out of here is for any of you. James talked about hippos and making a good antagonist. They're large, they're fast, they're amphibious, so they're dangerous, but they're kind of unexpected. What is another kind of animal you think would be a great unorthodox choice for a next animal attack kind of
The
movie?
honey badger.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They are vicious.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But you can't just have one. You'd need
Yeah, like a horde of honey badgers.
like a horde. I don't know if it's called a horde, but like you need a whole horde of honey badgers. That's what we call it, the horde of honey badgers.
I don't know the actual, group genus name, but I think horde works. It's
I definitely.
effective.
And you, I think 20 of them.
I think it's a shriek of honey badgers.
Oh,
Oh.
there you go.
The more you know, right?
But I could see 20 or so honey badgers coming at you and that being pretty
Wow.
terrifying. And then even if you had a weapon,
Yeah.
you can only take out so many of those bad boys before you're overcome. So yeah, honey badger, why not?
That's a solid choice. Again, thank you for your time. I really enjoyed the movie, and I hope more people get a chance to see it when it hits on demand
So do
next
we.
week.
We do too. Yeah, enjoy it, folks.
Coming
Appreciate that.
June 23rd.
Woo!
Woo!
Tuesday. Let's go.